Thanks, Josh. Grab your Bible, grab a journal, grab your booklet. Make sure you have that half sheet that was your chair or your crazy creek when you walked in. And I'm going to share with you for the next few moments, probably around only 15 minutes. But let's recap where we've been. We've been talking about this idea of homecoming, where home is a place where you're safe, welcome, and at rest with God, with others, and with yourself. And we've looked at how we can feel more at home with our family, anyone in our family photo, with ourselves specifically, and with God himself. And last night specifically, we looked at the lies that discontentment can tell us, that you don't have enough or that you are not enough. And we looked at what God has to say instead, which is that you are worthy of my son's life and attention every day. And the question we've continued to ask over the course of this weekend that I want every one of you to wrestle with is home something you want? Is this place, this experience of safety and welcome and rest, something that you really, truly want to experience? And we've been walking you through how you can experience a little more of that every single day. So to finish out this weekend, I want to ask you a question. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Home Alone? Let me see your hand if you've seen it. Yep. Everyone in here has seen it. And if you haven't seen it, obviously it's a Christmas classic, and you should watch it this Christmas, or maybe today when you go home and you can't fall asleep even though you're really tired. And here's a poster, the movie poster, everyone knows it. It's Macaulay Culkin playing Kevin McAllister. And you know how the story goes. Their family is crazy, lots of siblings, it's fun, there's always something going on, and they're planning to go on this trip to France. They're all going to go to Paris on this, you know, Christmas vacation or whatever it is. And on the morning that they're supposed to get ready to go to the airport, they wake up kind of late, and so everyone's rushing and getting their stuff together and getting out of the house, and they all get to the airport, but they forgot one of the members of their family. And so Kevin McAllister is at home, he's sleeping, and he wakes up, and he goes into every room, and he doesn't see his mom, he doesn't see his dad, he doesn't see his siblings. He sees no one, and for a brief moment, he's like, man, like, what's going on? And then he realizes that he's home alone. And he starts to get so excited. He's so pumped. He goes, he orders pizza, he's eating ice cream, he's shaving, he's doing everything that he can do in this moment where he feels so free, so alive, because he thinks and believes that being alone, being home alone, is the best thing ever. We all know how the movie goes, right? He enjoys it for a little bit. He enjoys the freedom to do what he wants, when he wants, wherever he wants, however he wants. But after a while, he's like, wait a second. This really isn't all that fun. Being alone, home alone, all by myself. And the illustration that that movie points out to me, and I think to us, is this, is that home is never supposed to be, is never meant to be experienced, meant to be enjoyed alone. I'll make sure I give you that line correctly. Home was never meant to be enjoyed alone. Home is meant to be shared with others. Home was never meant to be enjoyed alone. Home is meant to be shared with others. And when you find what we've been talking about this weekend, that place, that feeling, that experience of safety and welcome and rest with God, with others, and with yourself, man, one of the first things you do is you invite people in. Obviously, you don't own your own home or apartment, students, but your leaders and your parents, here's what they did when they got their apartment or when they bought their first home or whatever it was. They had this thing that you're going to do when you get to that stage in life. They have what we call a housewarming party. where they invite all their friends or whoever is close to them to come celebrate this new venture, this new season of life, and they bring everyone into their home because home is meant to be shared with other people, whether your family, your friends, people that you want to experience life with. And in the same way, when you begin to experience home, as we've been talking about, a place of safety, welcome, and rest with God, others, and yourself, the natural response is to invite people in, is to tell others, come and see. Come see how Jesus Christ has transformed the way I view myself, the way I respond in relationships, and the way I walk in surrender and daily abiding with Christ. Come and see what home is like. And so this morning, for the next couple moments, I'm going to share with you how to show others the way home. If you've experienced it, if you've seen it, if you have surrendered your life to God and allowed Him to inform how you view yourself and how you view your life circumstances and how you view your relationships, now the call on your life is to invite others in, to come and see what home is like. So I'm going to show you really quickly how to show others the way home. So if you have your Bible, turn with me really quickly to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, it's a familiar story. I'm going to recap most of it for you, and then we'll address a couple of verses in there, and then do what we're going to spend most of our time this morning doing. John chapter 4 is the story of the disciples and Jesus going through Samaria, this place that Jews didn't typically walk through because of tensions between the different ethnic groups, the Samaritans and the Jews. But Jesus, on mission, went through this place that Jews typically wouldn't, because he wanted to meet someone, because he wanted to change her life, because he wanted to change her eternity. And the craziest thing is because he wanted her to invite others in to what she would experience. And so you know the story, the woman at the well. She is basically someone who has had multiple marriages, 5 marriages in fact. And the man that she was with when Jesus met her was not her husband. And so she was an outcast in an outcast group of people. Right? And so she's going to the well to draw water at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day because no one else was coming to the well in the middle of the 100 degree sun. And no one wanted to spend time with her. No one wanted to talk to her. She was the scourge of the society. Everyone would be like, do you know what she did? Do you know what she's doing? Oh, she's on her 3rd husband, 4th husband. Oh, you know that guy that she's with now? Like, that was the person that she was. No one wanted to talk to her, but Jesus did. And so he goes to her at the well. The disciples go off into town to get some food. And Jesus tells this woman, can I have some water? And she's like, why are you talking to me? Men don't even talk to women necessarily in this context, much less a Jew talking to a Samaritan. And then Jesus begins to just reveal who he is to her and begins to share with her that he has a water that if she drank of it, she would never thirst again. That is, if she would place her faith and trust in who he was and what he had come to do, she would live a satisfying life where she would never have to thirst again. And so in the midst of their conversation, Jesus knows exactly what this woman has done. He knows all of her mistakes. He knows all of her rebellion, and he loves her anyway. He knows her and he accepts her anyway. And as they continue to have this conversation, he tells her that the only way that she can worship God earnestly, is through surrendering her life to him. And she tries to argue and get herself out of it, but Jesus continues to press in and get to the heart of the matter, that she doesn't have her life or fix these things. She needs to get right with God. And so she eventually does. She eventually gets it. And then we find ourselves in the story in John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30, and then also verses 39 to 42. This is amazing. Okay, verse 28 of John chapter 4 says this: the woman left the water jar beside the well, and she ran back into the village. When she understood who Jesus was and what he had come to do and how he wanted her to experience this this feeling of welcome and safety and rest, she trusted in who he was, and she ran back to do what? To tell everyone else and tell them, come on, come see what God is like. And so she ran back to the village at the end of verse 28, telling everyone, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming. I mean, imagine hundreds upon hundreds of people who had walked past this woman before, who had ignored her before, who had judged her before, who never wanted to talk to her before. She came back, and for some reason, she seemed changed, and that reason was she had met Jesus. And they were like, if Jesus can transform this woman that we ignored, that we rejected, that we looked down upon, we've got to see who this man is. And so in droves, it says they came streaming from the village to see him. Let's jump down to verse 39. So these hundreds and hundreds, probably, of Samaritans come out to see Jesus. And look at verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus. Why? Because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. What'd she do? She shared her story. She shared her testimony. She described what her life was like before meeting Jesus, which they already knew. It was broken. It was a mess. She was as far from home as you possibly can be. And she met Jesus. And in a moment, the beginning of her transformation began. And everybody could see it. And they began to believe in this Jesus who had transformed her life because she told them her story and how she had been transformed by meeting Jesus. So verse 40, when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. And so Jesus stayed with these people that he probably, normal Jews, wouldn't hang out with. He stayed with them for 2 days. Verse 41, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. So in addition to the hundreds and hundreds of people that came streaming out of the villages to meet Jesus and to see Jesus, he stayed in those villages and more people heard and more people came to understand who Jesus was and surrendered their lives to him. And then I love verse 42. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, not just because of your testimony, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Pay attention to this. She shares her story. She shares how Jesus has transformed her life. She goes and tells them, come on, you've got to see him. They go and they see him and they're like, we believe in this Jesus. We want to follow him. Jesus, come hang out with us. He comes and he hangs out with them and he shares the truth of who he is and what he's come to do with hundreds and hundreds more. And they all begin to believe. And then they conclude by saying, hey, thanks for telling us your testimony. That was the beginning, but we no longer believe just because you told us. We have experienced him for ourselves. We have experienced what home is like for ourselves. And that is so amazing that one woman with one step of faith, one bold and courageous moment, in that moment, she began to impact and change hundreds and hundreds of lives. One person with one story. And in this room today, there's over 500 people with 500 different stories. And I don't know where everyone in here is at in terms of your relationship with God, but I want to show you what can happen when you surrender to Jesus. And you begin to tell other people about the home that you've experienced because of your relationship with him. And so many lives were changed because this one woman was faithful to tell her one story to many people about God's work in her life. So here's my question to you. Whose life would be changed or could be changed because of your story? Whose life could be changed because of your story? In this story, hundreds, hundreds upon hundreds of people came to know the Savior because of this one woman's courage and boldness to share who she was before Christ, how she met Christ, and how her life was being transformed by him. And so I want you to think about it for just a second. Now, is it a family member, a mom, a dad, stepdad, stepmom, cousin, aunt, uncle, classmate, sister, close family friend, whose life could be changed because of your story? Because of you being faithful and courageous and bold to share who Jesus is and how he has changed your life. Man, I hope that God uses every single person in this room to draw other people to himself. In fact, I hope it so much so that I want to help every one of you be ready for that moment. So here's what we're going to do. I'm literally going to set a timer for 15 minutes. And here's what I'm going to ask. If you don't have a pen or you don't have one of these half sheets, make sure you have both of those. Okay? I'm going to give you the next 15 minutes, literally, to sit in here. Josh is going to play some worship songs, acoustic, while we're spending our time doing this. But what I want you to do is to look at this sheet and use this sheet as a guideline for how you are going to prepare your testimony. And so the basic outline is you explain your life before you began to trust and follow Jesus. Explain how you began to trust him. Where did you meet him? How did you meet him? And explain how Christ has changed your life. Because Jesus isn't just a good idea. He isn't just a ticket to heaven. Jesus changes now. Okay? And I believe, I know, I think there's almost 40,000 high school students in DISD. 40,000. And imagine if every one of the 380 plus of you in this room right now knew how to share your testimony, were ready and equipped for those moments when God gave you that opportunity to share with a friend, to share with a family member, to share with someone you know and love, or even a random stranger if the opportunity presented itself. How awesome would it be if hundreds upon hundreds of people in Dallas, Texas were changed, were transformed because of your story, because of God using his work in your life to do a work in their life. I want you to be ready for that moment. And this isn't go back to Dallas and just walk up to a random person and say, hey, can I share my testimony with you? That's awkward and weird. This is waiting, making sure that you're ready, praying for those opportunities, thinking about those individuals that you're like, man, if they truly heard my story and truly heard how God has transformed my life, man, the Holy Spirit could work through that story in their lives. And I want to help you get there. I want to help you be ready in whatever that moment might be. If you've been to Shoreline before, you've seen, you know, a junior or senior usually stand on stage and share their story. And this is what we give them, or this is the guideline that we give them to help them understand how to share their testimony. And we check with their leaders to make sure that they're ready in that moment, not perfect, but ready to share their testimony. And man, I pray that every single one of us could be ready to share our testimony of God's goodness in our lives. And so we're gonna practice it today. So for the next 15 minutes, until 12 p.m., you are going to spend time reading through this document, writing out your testimony either on the back of the sheet or in your booklet if you have it, or in your journal, wherever you want to write it. I don't care. I just want you to write it down. Explain your life before Christ, how you came to meet Christ, what you understand the gospel to be, that God loved us, demonstrated his love for us through his son Jesus. and how your life has been changed and transformed by God, by you surrendering yourself daily to Him. All right? So the next 15 minutes, don't be on your phone. Don't be messing with the person next to you. Spend time. Leaders, too, if you've never written it out, this is a great opportunity for you to write it out the next 15 minutes. And now I'll jump back up. While Josh continues to play, I know some of you probably are done and some of you are still working. I'm going to give you 3 more minutes. But if you are finished for, writing out your story, or maybe you've done it before and it was easier for you, I want you to think about this question. Who needs to hear your testimony? Who needs to hear your testimony? Like, who needs to hear what you just wrote down? What family member, what friend, what loved one, whoever it is. Like, think of that person. Think of those people. And here's what I want you to do if you've already done writing your testimony. Pray for an opportunity to get to share it with them, specifically with that person. Pray for an opportunity to get to share your testimony with them, and pray for a receptive heart on their part, right? Pray for the opportunity to present itself. You don't have to be weird. You don't have to be awkward. But pray for the opportunity to get to share what God has done in your life, and pray that their hearts would be open and receptive to what God has done in your life, to want to come and see more of what you have experienced, more of the welcome, safety, and rest at home that you've experienced. So I'm going to give you a couple more minutes to either finish up writing your testimony or praying specifically for people that you would love to hear your testimony, and for God to use you like He used the woman, the Samaritan woman, to change hundreds and hundreds of lives. And I'll jump back up here in a second, and I'll pray over all of us, and then we'll continue worshiping. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for these students and leaders. Thank you for the last 20 minutes or so that we got to reflect on your goodness and grace and kindness in our lives, and even to get to write that out and have it ready and be prepared with the content of how you've changed and how you are changing our lives. I pray that you would give every student, every leader in this room opportunity to share their testimony at some point in the future with someone that you really love and want to come to a greater understanding of who you are. I pray that these students would be bold and courageous. I pray for those who couldn't do this exercise because they don't have a testimony or don't have a complete one in terms of trusting in who you are. I pray that this moment would be a moment that your Spirit convicts them, your Spirit draws them, your Spirit shows them their need for you. I pray that they would share with a friend that they know is a follower of you. I pray they would share with a leader. I don't have a testimony, but I want one. I pray that they would be humble enough to ask that and to share that. And I pray that that student, those students, that leader would be ready and excited to share. Say, come home, come see the welcome, the safety, and rest that is found in a relationship with Jesus. And I pray that every single one of us would decide to go back home in the next couple of hours, excited to share more of what home with you looks like and how it transforms how we view ourselves, how we view our relationship with you, and how we live in our relationships with one another. I pray that as we worship together through song for the next few moments, that we would be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.